Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks. You are tuned in live right now to Black Geek Movie Talk. We're coming at you live from Los Angeles. It's May 3rd, and we're here. We're going to be talking today about the second Avengers, Avengers Age of Ultron. With me today is my regular co-host, Elise. Say hello, Elise.
What's going on, people?
And I'm your regular host, Yolanda. Thank you all for tuning in, if you're tuning in live. Let's just get into this thing. We like to start by first giving, a brief... there's some spoilers, I think, probably, right, Elise? A summary?
Yeah.
Warning up front. I mean, this is a really big time movie. I mean, it's been out since Thursday now, so I'm sorry if you haven't seen it. But
What are you waiting for?
Elise, can you give us just a summary?
Sure. Yeah. So, like you said, Avengers: Age of Ultron, written and directed by Joss Whedon. Hand clap.
Yay.
So this movie picks up right away. The first image on this first scene is a huge action sequence. And the Avengers, the whole crew is back. They are raiding a Hydra hideout trying to get back Loki's scepter. So while trying to recover this scepter, we're introduced to two new villains, the twins, played by Elizabeth Olsen and Aaron Taylor-Johnson, I think, and they are the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. So Tony, in his attempt to get the scepter back, finds some technology on Hydra's computer system, and they take that back to their little hideout. And so in secret, Tony, along with the help of Bruce Banner, they decide that they're going to use the scepter, Loki's scepter, and the technology from Hydra to build AI. Tony Stark has this idea. He wants to build a global defense system called Ultron. So they decide to build this machine. A little montage. They're successful. And, of course, things go bad. Just like Frankenstein, his creation turns against him. So Ultron, who's voiced by James Spader, cancels Jarvis, tries to kill the Avengers, and boom, we're into the second act. So their first confrontation with Ultron, they fail. They go into hiding. And Ultron has enlisted the twins. He's gotten the metal that Captain America's shield is made out of, the vibranium, and he's intent on destroying the world. He doesn't understand. He feels like global peace can only be achieved through decimating the human race. So Nick Fury shows up. He's like, dudes, you gotta get back out there and try to get Ultron before he destroys the world. So Ultron has built, he's trying to create an extinction level event. So he's gone back to Sokovia, which was the first fight scene, and he's put the Captain America medal into the ground, and he's going to create a meteor. He lifts the city out of the ground. It's flying through the air. He's going to smash it back into the earth to recreate what happened to the dinosaurs. So the twins join forces with the Avengers. So, obviously, Ultron's crazy. We need to destroy him. And they defeat him. And Jarvis actually was not completely destroyed. He comes back. Paul Bettany is actually in this. And he's turned into, I guess, who's going to be a new Avenger, Vision. So at the end of the movie, they set up, I guess, the new Avengers that are going to be in the next segment, and that includes Scarlet Witch, because Quicksilver is killed, spoiler. Captain America's there, and then War Machine, who's played by Don Cheadle, and the Falcon, Anthony Mackie, and then Paul Bettany's character, Vision. And they're kind of set. That's like the last scene. Boom. This is your next group of superheroes.
Right. Okay. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Elise, for that summary. And we assume, as you were doing the summary, I was going to, like, pipe in and say, because you kept referencing Tony, Tony, Tony. And I was going to say, for those of you who've been living under a rock, Tony is played by Iron Man. Or played by Iron Man. Lord have mercy. Is Iron Man. Iron Man. Tony Stark is
right.
Iron Man. So, but hopefully people kind of, like, know that by now. And it got me thinking about something else that I want to talk about when we get into the review. But before we get into the actual talking about the film, part of the show that we like to do is, well, I like to do, hopefully at least you like it too, talk briefly a little bit about feelings going into the film. Because I feel like how you feel before you even see the thing colors your review. I mean, I just think you can't help it. You know, you either are, you know, really looking forward to something, and then you see it, and it either lives up to expectations or surpasses expectations or, you know, falls below expectations, or you are not looking forward to something, and you'd rather, like, take your eyes out with, like, a hot spoon, and then you go in to see something, and you're like, my mind is totally blown. So that's why I like to talk a little bit about feelings going in by saying that while I was looking forward to this film, this is not like one of my most anticipated films of the year or even the summer for that matter. And I don't know if people like gasping, but for me, I'm kind of, and I don't know if you feel the same way, Elise. I kind of now looking a little bit more forward to movies that are not comic book adaptations. I think we're just, I'm starting to get a little bit weary of them. And so while it's fun, you know, I'm not going to say I wanted to take my eye out with a hot spoon, you know, thinking about seeing this. It's certainly not one of my most anticipated because I just feel like even Joss Whedon included, who is like probably my absolute favorite geeky film director, I just was not, I was just like, okay, well, it's popcorn time, you know, let me sneak in an adult beverage and have some popcorn and have a good time. But this was not by any means, like, I was not expecting Oscar-worthy accolades and screaming at the top of my lungs about this film. Just wasn't. That's just the truth.
Right.
What about for you, Elise? How would you gauge your anticipation or what you were thinking you were going to see, going in to see this?
It was pretty much the same as you. I thought, all right, this will be fun. I liked the first Avengers. You know, it wasn't like it didn't change my life. You know, I'm excited for Joss. I'm happy he's here. I think that I would not have liked them, the movies at all, if he wasn't involved. I don't think I would have enjoyed them at all.
Right.
But it was like, all right, well, let's see.
And so absolutely. I think the first Avengers would have been a big fat mess. Or if not a big fat mess, it would have just been like, why are we bothering? Why, I don't, like, why? But I think, given the fact that it was someone who is a writer-director who was doing it, he really made it interesting and come to life in a way that I don't think, and I'm biased, I'll put it out there, that I don't think anybody else could do right now.
Right.
I just don't think so. You know, with maybe the exception of Christopher Nolan, but he does a different, his stuff is a different tone, his comic book stuff that he's done. It's a completely different tone. And it wouldn't have fit this. So I think Joss is the only one who could have made the first one interesting and made it as successful as it was. So we've gotten our first kind of feelings out of the way. And it both sounds like they're kind of, you know, warm. You know, kind of like warm feelings about it. Not going to change our lives. That being said, let's get into this. Where did this fall for you? Did you feel like they outdid the first one? And then we'll talk about specifics, you know, obviously, of why we feel the way we do. Did this outdo? Do you feel like this is less than the first one? Or about the same? What was like your overall feeling?
I don't think it was as good as the first one.
Mm-hmm.
In general.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I, too, felt the same way. I don't think it was as good as the first one. And I hate to say that because I feel like this suffered from some of the things that I talk about in other comic book movies, you know, where I'm like, what happened? Like, that didn't make sense. And why are we why are we spending time on that? And I don't understand it. Like, and I wasn't expecting that to happen again with a Joss Whedon thing. Because I feel like because he's a writer, that he does an exceptional job in making things like really tight and smooth and clean and fun. And so I was surprised that, like, I'm not sure, because he had writing credits on this too, right? He's a writer and director
on
this.
Correct.
So we'll talk about why we didn't feel like it was as strong. Do you want to start? Is there something in, I kind of kicked it off talking about story.
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, my biggest pet peeve is that it seemed like this was a lot of CGI-fueled action sequences with not a lot of time devoted to character or, I don't want to say dialogue, because it's not what it was supposed to be. It's not like, you know, a character-driven think piece that, you know, I understand it's supposed to be fun. But it was just the CGI, the CGI was just over the top, and the action sequences, there were a lot of them, and they were long. And it almost felt to me, my biggest pet peeve with Man of Steel, even though I liked Man of Steel, and I know people are like, what the F, you create, whatever, I still like Man of Steel. But my issue with Man of Steel was they needed to cut some of that out. I mean, it was just, they needed to go back to the editing room. And for me, that's what this felt like. It was like, all right, that's enough.
That's enough
already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, I hate to even say these words out loud, but Man of Steel, at least, for me, fell apart. Like, there was a very specific point where it fell apart. Like, I felt like it was strong all the way. I'm enjoying this. And then it just dropped. Versus where I felt like there was mess in a couple of places. It wasn't like I felt like, well, we're going along. And then the final scene collapsed. No. It's almost like we were there for, I don't know, 3 minutes, and then the first moment of, like, I'm getting a little bit, like, what? And then we do that, and then what? Like that. Mm-hmm. And so in that regard, it's almost like Man of Steel was less messy and less of a disappointment. But then also, here's the thing. Maybe also, there's higher expectations for me with this film than there was for Man of Steel, because we saw the first Avengers. We know it's Joss Whedon, and this is just not something that I would expect from him. And maybe that's not that big a criticism, considering how awesome he is. So, like, his not so good is maybe 10 times better than somebody else's not so good. But still, I just wasn't expecting kind of the mess. when was the first time for you, because you mentioned you felt like the CGI action sequences, there were a lot of them and they were too long. What was the first point in the film for you that you started kind of getting antsy or kind of like, what the F is happening right now? Can you pinpoint when the first time that happened for you?
Okay. Well, the first scene, I was like, they couldn't have done any practical effects. This all had to be computer generated.
Oh,
like,
really?
The very first scene.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I was like, and that's just my personal preference. Maybe some people don't care. But then the next time would be, I enjoyed when we're introduced to James Spader. That little scene was cool.
Yeah,
when he attacks him at the party. And then the scene after that, when they're fighting in the street, that's when I was like, okay, this is going on too long, you know.
When you say fighting in the street, are you talking about Hulk and Iron Man?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so for me, I think it happened, the whole, like, there's, like, a romance between Scarlet Widow and Bruce Banner, between Scarlet Hampton, and that was at the party prior to James Spader. That's when I first started, but it wasn't awful yet. I that was just when I was kind of like, what? And maybe people who are fans of the comic book can, like, you know, write in and tell us. I mean, is that what happened in the comics? Because for me, it was weird. And I didn't understand why. Like, I was kind of like, okay, so we had this action sequence, which I didn't mind, the beginning, opening, all the CGI. I mean, it wasn't the strongest opening. But it was, like, fun. It was like, yay, we're back, you know, with the Avengers. Woo-hoo, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And then we go, we get ready for the party. And we're at the party, and then stuff is happening. And, like, Scarlet Widow is flirting with the Hulk. And I'm like, okay, I guess. Yeah. And then the James Spader was freaking. He is my new, like, favorite thing about the world. he that was just so spot on, like his voice, and like bringing to life that character. You could tell that he just relishes, I guess if you want to call this like the second half, the third half, I don't know what you call it, but you could just tell that he relishes the way that he delivers his lines. I was just like wanting to yell and clap every 3 seconds. I just get shivers. It's just wonderful. And then we go into like an hour-long street fighting CGI sequence between the Hulk and Iron Man, and I'm like, I too was like, all right. But the most telling thing for me, and I said this to you while we were in the film, and I'll say this now live on air, I want to watch more of these types of movies sitting next to someone young, like a child, because they don't lie, okay? They don't lie. There's no filter. There's no, like, deep thinking. Okay, how does this work? How does this not work? You will get the purest, fastest response from a kid that age, and I think it's appropriate for this type of movie, because this movie, really, while us adults are enjoying all this, and we're geeks, and we love this stuff, this is really for them. It's really for, like, 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds.
Yeah.
And you look over at 10 and 11-year-old, and his face, he just fell out of the film. He just fell completely out. I'll tell you exactly when that happened, was when they started doing the I guess it was the, like the dream sequences when Scarlet Witch gets to everybody, and like Scarlett Johansson's character in particular, when she starts going into, she's talking about her lady parts and how they made her sterile or something, something, something. I can't even tell you because I tuned out too. And I looked over at the 10-year-old and the look on his face, he was done. Like, the movie ended for him. He was like,
yeah.
I don't know what this is. Where are the superheroes? Why aren't they fighting? Why isn't this CGI? Well, I don't understand. Why are we talking about lady parts? I don't know what you mean. I don't like it. To me, I was like, yeah, dude, like, I understand what she's talking about, but I don't really, what, why? And it seemed like it was, you know, we go from the CGI action, and then there's a party, and then there's fighting, and then there's an action sequence that's too long, and then there's, it was disjointed for me, and I did enjoy it quite as much as the first one. I just didn't. And then the long, you know, the final sequence, the final battle. There were a couple of battles. I didn't care. Is that too harsh a thing to say?
No. No.
Like, oh, God. So what else can we say here?
I will say, and this is maybe, I don't know, some people may not have liked this, but the humor in this was very, very Joss Whedon-esque. Like, watching this was very much like watching an episode of Buffy sometimes. So that can be a good or a bad thing. Because there were a lot of one-liners. Everybody got, like, a little, you know, a little chance to make the audience laugh, which I loved. I laughed out loud several times. Which was one of the saving graces. Like, if Josh Whedon hadn't written the script, the dialogue, this would have been terrible. Because that saved it a little bit for me. But for some people, that just might be annoying. Like, some people just may not like that brand of humor. And everybody got, again, this is Josh Whedon, being able to direct an ensemble. Like, everybody got some action. Black Widow got her thing. Even Scarlet Witch at the end, I was excited about. So I'm excited to get into her. I think she'll be kick-ass. But the jokes were awesome, and everybody got, even, what was his name? Who does Jeremy Renner play? Hawkeye?
Oh,
what is it?
Yes. Yeah.
Because I didn't really like him.
No.
In the
me
first
neither.
One. But he,
no.
Yeah, this one, they did a better job.
Yeah.
Much
I
better.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of, with his character, I hate to go to negative town again, but there was actually things that they
didn't like his
character.
Backstory.
Yeah. I was like, who cares?
You didn't like his backstory,
this?
Yeah.
Like, what? I guess, is that the part of the comics? Okay, sure. But see, here's another thing that's just disappointing to me about this is because, you know, when you mentioned the Joss Whedon and the humor, even that felt like, Joss Whedon, everything to me that he does, it's like so streamlined and so tight so that when the humor comes, it feels like natural and well-placed and everything just is good. Action and humor. Character development, action, humor.
Yeah.
Character development. And this didn't, even the lines that were totally like, I felt like I'm watching an episode of Buffy, I couldn't appreciate as much because they were, you know, just stuffed in between these nonsense things or things that I didn't care about, kind of. And so, that's a positive, but it's not even as positive or as good as, like, how they appeared in the Avengers, because the Avengers was very streamlined. It was very tight, the first one. And it would have been an abysmal failure had anybody else attempted it, because, like you said, he's so good at, like, ensemble pieces and making sure everybody is, like, a character that you know something about and, like, care about, and some of them you love a little bit faster than others, but everybody gets a chance for you to, you know, and he does that so well, but this, I felt, I almost didn't feel like him. I almost felt like he was just, he didn't write this fully. Like, I almost feel like somebody else wrote it, and then he came in and maybe just did some edits. And that's what it felt like. It was really, I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, we've got 4 minutes left. What else do we want to say about this film?
I can rate it. I have said, I think that I've said all I need to say. Can't say enough about James, say enough about Joss Whedon.
Okay. You know, this is the first time I'm doing something, and I don't really know what to give, rate this, and we're at the point in the show to rate it. I always let you go first. And I'm going to try not to be swayed by how you rate this. I'm going to try and do my own thing.
I'm going to give this 3.5. And even though it was a little messy, I can't deny how I felt when I was watching it. And it was fun. You know, I laughed out loud. I think I enjoyed the relationship, the little hint at the relationship, and I liked the introduction of the two new characters. Loved James Spader, and I was I was just happy kind of watching it. And it had its problems, but I liked it overall.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna do something that I'm probably gonna regret, but this is my first thing. I'm going to go with this and let it be controversial. I'll come back and I'll say why afterwards. I'm going to give this 2.5 stars. I'm going to give it 2.5 because you know, when we talk about some other comic book movies that are coming up in about a year or so, I have to be honest. I did not enjoy this as much as the first Avengers. There were certainly things that I enjoyed about it. And maybe I'm giving it a harsher critique because it's supposed to be Joss Whedon, but for me, it didn't feel like Joss Whedon. It didn't feel like Joss Whedon. There were Joss Whedon moments, but the whole film didn't feel like Joss Whedon because of his track record. Everything he does is so tight and so clean. This didn't feel tight and clean. It just felt like what we're probably going to see in a year. Okay? From some DC folks. And so I have to give it. I have to give it a 2.5. And maybe I'll regret that. Maybe I'll come back and I'll have to revise. I don't know. But for right now, I'm giving it a 2.5. And there you go. So with that said,
no.
We're at the end of the show. And Elise, do you want to tell the folks when we'll be back? Do you know what we're doing next time?
I don't know. What are we doing? Tell us, Yolanda.
We're going to be talking Mad Max Fury Road in 2 weeks' time. Not next week, but in 2 weeks' time, May 17th. Elise, can you quickly tell folks where they can find us if they want to email us and reach out?
Check us out on Facebook, Black Geek Movie Talk, Twitter, BLK, Geek Movie TLK, and email us, blackgeekmovietalk@gmail.com. Thanks.
Okay, and with that, we will see you guys in 2 weeks' time. Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.